Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, guys, football is a 60-minute game, and I would say that's the first time the Patriots played 60 minutes all season.
No question. That was a feel-good performance.
I mean, special teams, offense, defense, they all contributed. They all needed to contribute, but I think they came through, and they really needed this game.
Yeah, that was the kind of effort that some of us loudmouths, like me, who thought before the season they might be able to go 19-0, that's what I was envisioning. I thought that they could be the kind of team that could, I don't want to say dominant in all phases, but the complementary football that Belichick always talks about, you saw each of the three phases really contribute to the win, and really they were never in trouble in that game.
Yeah, they controlled it. That's what controlled. I liked. Is the first quarter, okay, it kind of went back and forth. It was scoreless, and then you owned the second quarter, and game was over, right?
Yep.
You controlled the game the rest of the way. You ran the ball. You were able to play the game on your terms. And that's really the first time this year that they've played the full game on their terms.
If I didn't know any better, I'd say it was a game out of 2003 when, you know, Brady would have a manageable game. You know, he'd play okay. But once they got that lead, it was lights out. And that's the way it was. And in that second half, they were able to just run the ball, you know, run the clock out. And they didn't have to score a ton of points.
Yeah, 17 was equivalent to 35.
Yeah.
I mean, that was not a huge point total, but the game was over. Paul likes to give his nods. He nodded off at halftime.
Well, that was
in more ways than one.
The night games don't treat me well anymore.
Plus, you couldn't see the game anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there was one key juncture, I thought, and I do feel like the Patriots, once they scored, once they got ahead and played it on their terms, I kind of felt like, you said, Freddie, old school 2003, game's over, but you know, after the two-minute warning, it's 10-0. Atlanta has the ball near midfield, fourth and long, and they go for it. And I thought that was just a panic move. I thought it reeked of desperation, and it just wasn't smart. Atlanta knew they were going to get the ball to start the second half. You punt there, you pin him inside the 10, you're probably going to get out of the half 10-0, and now you have the ball, you score, and game on in the second half. Instead, you give him a short field. We know what Tom does with short fields. It was like taking candy from a baby. 17-0 at half, and Andy's right. Time to nod off.
Yeah, I don't want to diminish the win because it was their best win of the year, but Atlanta was not very good. Their game plan was not very good. Their in-game coaching from Quinn, the offensive coordinator, Sarkisian, was not very good. I thought they curiously didn't run to the outside like we saw in the Super Bowl, trying to get that speed advantage, which I don't know whether they still have or don't have with the changes in personnel. You know, the call on the goal line, fourth down on the goal line, and you run some jet sweep.
Jet sweep.
Even he admitted that's the one call from the game he'd like to have back, but Atlanta was not very good.
I think they just need to talk, Atlanta, I think they need to talk a little bit more this coming week about how the Super Bowl is behind them.
That's probably a good idea.
Do you think they may be a bit emotionally damaged?
I do.
Okay.
You know where I think they're damaged? The head coach stinks.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think the whole team is now damaged.
But that's the Atlanta segment. Let's get back to the Patriots.
Okay, Andy.
Let's give the Patriots credit for what they did.
You're the one that started all of
this. Well, I just want to be fair.
Now that I said what I want to say.
Yeah, now that I don't think Atlanta was very
you got
good.
Your little laugher and, they're a broken team. Broken team. Okay, the Patriots are not a broken team. They looks like they're fixing it, right? Except Dante Hightower.
Yes, we had some news this week.
Because Dante Hightower is a key loss. And just when you felt like you maybe turned a corner on defense and you were building moving forward, how do you overcome that is a major question for me.
Yeah, I think the way you overcome it is the defensive secondary has to play the way we thought they were going to play when the season was starting. In other words, Gilmore has to be that guy that you thought he was going to be when they brought him in. You know, there can't be any more communication issues. And I know for two games, well, two out of the last three games, we haven't seen the communication. That has to continue. The secondary has to pick up its play because the front seven is what it is. It really is. I don't think that, you know, Kyle Van Noy is all of a sudden going to become Dante Hightower, or Shea McClellan comes back, he's going to be Dante Hightower. That's a big loss.
Yeah, it's a huge loss because he does so many different things. And I think physically on the field, I think we all know what Dante Hightower does, a lot of different things. He can rush the passer. He can play the run. He's a big part of that communication that you guys are talking about. But I think almost as big, if not bigger, is what you lose off the field. I think he's such a presence. We don't even know about it because he's not a big talker in the locker room. He's not really a big presence in the locker room when the media is there. But I think when the media is not there, he's one of those guys that keeps a lot of things together. And I think that he's a very respected guy just reading some of the stories this week in the aftermath of his injury news, you know, heading into that Tampa Bay game, I guess he sort of rallied the troops a little bit, trying to get people focused. You know, there's some different guys, some moving parts, some younger guys, and I think he's one of those guys, like Willie McGinest in the past, like Gerard Mayo. Everybody respects Dante Hightower, and I think they're going to miss that.
And I think the leadership thing is huge. There's no doubt about that. But I also just have a lot of doubts about the front seven.
Malcolm
Brown missed some practice time this week. He has never missed time before due to injury. And we now counting on Alan Branch to just be that solid force in the middle. David Harris, is he suddenly going from inactive, healthy scratches to a big part of the defense? Cassius Marsh, who I kind of thought when McClellan came back, maybe Marsh sees a little dip in playing time. Well, now you lose Hightower. Marsh has to keep playing. I think there are a ton of questions in that front seven.
There is.
And the secondary can be fine. You can't play without a front seven.
No, I understand. But
they have to be competitive.
But you know, even going into the season, we figured the strength of the defense would be the secondary.
And it has not.
It has to become that.
And we have to see it be that with Gilmore out there.
Yeah.
We've seen a couple weeks here and maybe their best performance with Bademosi and Jonathan Jones. They have to be good with Gilmore out there if they have a chance to be a decent defense.
Now, the trade deadline's coming up on Tuesday. They might add somebody.
Yes.
You know, I don't know, but, you know, the question is, what do they give up to get him? You know, do you give up a high draft pick to bring in a guy who can help you right away?
And what is the need now?
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned the depth issue at defensive tackle. You have already the depth issue at defensive end / pass rusher.
Yep.
Now you have a depth issue at linebacker. Now I don't even know where you'd really target first and foremost.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts. And I'll tell you, if this defense continues to improve, Matty P is up for an award.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? And also brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. The legacy rolls on. Visit FisherPlows.com.
This week's From the Heart, we go with the obvious matchup because it's the biggest matchup. The Patriots' pass protection against the pass rushers from the Los Angeles Chargers. But don't take my word for it. Let's hear from the GOAT.
You know, Bosa and Ingram, and, you know, I think I have a really good group of pass rushers. And, you know, they get to the quarterback, and they do it a variety of different ways, and, you know, they really get after you, and I'm not going to be able to stand back there and hold it forever. So it's a real good rush.
As Brady said, Bosa and Ingram, one of the best duos of pass rushers in the NFL. Bill Belichick called them special. 16 combined sacks through 7 games. They challenge you on the edges. They move around a little bit. They are relentless. Nate Solder, Marcus Cannon, and the entire line, your challenge has been set this week. Let's get the job done.
It looks like the Patriots are going to be without Dante Hightower for a while, and obviously anytime you lose a player of that caliber, it's impossible to replace him with just one guy. But I think the Patriots have a lot of different guys that they can fill in and use in different ways to try to get the job done. I think the guy who most closely resembles the skill set for Hightower isn't quite back yet. That's Shay McClellan. He's going to be on IR for at least another week or so, so they can't get him back. But I think his versatility to play inside, outside, rush the passer might be very valuable with Hightower out of the lineup. But instead, you're going to have David Harris, I think, on the inside. I think you have Landon Roberts, provided that he's healthy coming off that ankle injury. It's, again, not going to be one guy. It's going to be a lot of different players that are going to have to step up. And this is where Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia earn their money. It won't be easy, but they'll get the job done.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
This week's Trash Talk is an unfortunate question. What is the tipping point when you continue to lose key players? Julian Edelman on IR, Dante Hightower maybe lost for the season. Have we reached the tipping point?
You know, it's a huge loss. I'm not going to try to downplay it because it's a significant player who does a lot for that defense. I don't think it's the tipping point, though. I've seen this team too often, Andy, lose what you think is the guy that's going to be the difference between you being able to go all the way and not even make the playoffs or whatever in between, and they just find a way to get it done. This, to me, is not the tipping point yet, but it's definitely not a good thing.
I'm concerned. I'm not going to lie to you. And you may not know this week. You may not know in 2 weeks. in December. It may be January, maybe February.
Right.
But I think you lost two of your more clutch players in Julian Edelman and Dante Hightower. I think these are heart and soul type guys. When the going gets tough, these guys get going type guys. And to lose both of those, one on each side of the ball, I think that's a massive challenge to overcome. I am very much concerned.
Yeah, I really agree with you about the clutch aspect of both of those players. Hightower has been enormous in the Super Bowls with
huge.
Those individual plays that we all remember, but you're sort of setting yourself up here to not be wrong. I mean, they could rattle off 10 wins in a row. They lose one, you're going to say, see, I told you, Hightower was the tipping point.
They don't win the Super Bowl, Andy, right again.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, is Andy Hart in a nutshell. But anyway, we'll continue to do this. I feel like the defense... Yes, it's going to definitely miss the presence of Hightower, but again...
They were bad with him.
Yeah.
How are they going to get good without him?
That's exactly my point. You want to take over the whole thing?
I do.
They're able to go 5-2 with the worst defense statistically in football.
The easy part of their schedule. The meat of the schedule is on the horizon. The playoffs are on the horizon.
You can continue to win football games with or without Hightower.
Carr, Roethlisberger, those guys are on the horizon. The better teams are on the horizon. Going to Denver, the challenges of this season are on the horizon, and you lost your defensive leader, your core defensive guy, the best player in your front seven, maybe the best player on your defense.
But I understand all of that, and everything you said is exactly true, but you still have plenty of players back there, and I think you have to lean on the secondary. You have Devin McCourty, who's the glue back there. Patrick Chung has been around. Malcolm Butler, hopefully you get Stephon Gilmore back in the mix. You still have a lot of talent back there, and maybe that
covers
up.
The 32nd best pass defense.
Well, listen, they haven't played well. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it.
So they're going to play better
the defense
without
has not
their
played
best
well.
Player in the front.
Yeah, I think that's not...
That seems like a flawed
formula. Not the craziest thing that's ever happened.
It is crazy.
You can patch it together, at least in the short term, and you're halfway through the season. You don't have to do it for 3 years. You just have to do it for a couple of months. And I don't think this is going to be the difference between winning or losing a Super
Bowl. The offense is scoring less. The defense was coming together, except they lost their best front seven player. You're counting on a secondary that has the 32nd ranked pass defense. And oh, by the way, hasn't gotten Gilmore back yet. We don't know how this secondary looks with Gilmore back in the mix because they were horrific a couple weeks ago with him in the mix. It's all lost.
Are you underestimating Bill Belichick's ability to overcome adversity?
Not Bill Belichick's.
At your own peril.
I think Bill overcomes adversity well. I just don't know if Cassius Marsh and Dietrich Wise and those guys up front overcome
it. Oh, you mean like Akeem Ayers and like Jonathan Casillas and
you're
going to
keep beating
like
the drum of the history.
Yes, you'll
I'm about the here and the now, and I'm concerned about the here and the now.
Yeah, I'm only concerned about the coaching staff and their ability to overcome adversity.
Has Bill Belichick ever tackled an opposing running back at the goal line to set up a Super Bowl win? Never happened.
He puts guys in the right spot, and he'll do it again.
You lost Hightower. You lost Edelman. Did you lose the season?
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner and New England's best ticket source for all Patriots games. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason?
The NFL trade deadline is coming up on Tuesday. Here's the teams being bold and giving us stuff to talk about on Wednesday. One of the names being thrown around as trade bait is the Steelers' Martavis Bryant. That's because he's been publicly complaining about playing time and calling out at least one teammate he thinks he should be playing over. If you're looking for more playing time or to be traded during the season, this isn't the way to do it. Any team looking to add a player in the middle of the season usually has a chance for a run and needs a piece. The last thing they want is a malcontent who's going to screw up that run if he feels dissed. So if Brian is looking to move on, he needs to stop his ranting. That's what you have an agent for.
Player's Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
This week we're joined by Patriots cornerback Johnson Badamosi. And Johnson, one of the newest members of the starting lineup the last couple of weeks, and the defense obviously turned in its best performance of the season. It had to be pretty satisfying for you guys.
It was great, yeah.
Anything in particular about what happened against Atlanta? You know, the communication in the secondary, the matchups, anything in particular that you guys worked on that was particularly successful?
I mean, I think we did a great job as a team. We communicated well. We played fast and physical. We played with a lot of passion, and it showed itself out there.
You spent the first 4 years of your career in Cleveland, and then you went to Detroit as a free agent. Now there's a little bit of a Patriots connection in Detroit with Bob Quinn, the general manager. I'm just curious, was there any thought of maybe coming here originally, maybe signing with the Patriots as a free agent when you had that opportunity? Was there any talk between you and the Patriots?
Yeah, that was part of the conversation. Absolutely, yeah.
Anything, was it close, or did you just, Detroit was the better opportunity at the time?
I mean, I ended up in Detroit, and I'm here now, and I'm happy to be here, so.
What about the situation in the secondary? We talk a lot about the communication. How have you found that process? Because you guys obviously played at a much higher level against Atlanta, a very difficult team with a lot of different weapons. How did you guys find the communication to work?
I mean, I thought we communicated very well. I mean, that's part of playing great defense. You have to communicate. And so I think we did that well, and I think that showed itself.
Now you look ahead now. You have the Los Angeles Chargers coming in, a team that's won 3 in a row. They've been playing very good football. What are some of the challenges they present, for you guys in the secondary?
I mean, they have a great quarterback, some great skill positions, a line that's blocking very well. And they have a lot of experience on their team. So they have a lot of challenges that we're going to have to, match up against. So we're excited about it.
What's it like when you see a guy like Phillip Rivers, who's been around? Obviously, you're not really going to trick him a lot because he's seen a lot of things. Not that much different than Tom because he has so much experience. What are some of the challenges when you watch a quarterback like that on film?
I mean, you got to appreciate what he's been able to do, and he's been able to play so long, and it always puts his, offense in the best position to be successful. So you see it on tape, and even if you don't see it on tape, you know it just through conversation. So.
When you enter a game like this, you've been around now a few years, 6 years now, I think, in the league, and you have that bye, looming after the Chargers game. How difficult is it to sort of focus on the game and then worry about the time off afterwards?
I don't think it's difficult at all. I think, we're in the business of winning, and you got to take care of what's in front of you, and I think this game is the most important thing right now. So.
Okay, real quick before I let you go, I want to have a little fun with you too. You have that bye coming afterwards, and Halloween's coming, and I don't know if you know this, but Halloween's one of your head coach's favorite holidays. Bill Belichick loves Halloween. So I'm just curious as, maybe some of your childhood memories, any favorite costumes that you had growing up?
Yeah, I a bunch of them, from, like Ninja Turtles to superheroes, Batman, Superman, to like cartoon characters that I enjoy watching. I can't remember any particular ones, but I've always had fun with Halloween. It's one of my favorite holidays as well.
Well, hopefully we'll get a win, get into the break on a good frame of mind, and maybe you get to be a Ninja Turtle again.
Exactly.
Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you.
You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
All right, it's that time of the show when we answer the questions that you sent to us at askpfw@patriots.com. The first one comes from Chris Wood, and he wants to know, when Gillislee's on the field, it seems like they always run the ball. Should they mix it up a little bit?
Yeah, I think they might be able to do that a little bit to help him out. And I feel like they've gotten into the same kind of trap with Blunt in the past. But Gillislee has the ability, first of all, to catch the ball that I don't think Blunt had that ability in the past. But I do think even if they don't want to throw it to him, maybe a couple of play-action passes with him on the field might back off the linebackers a little bit, because I do feel they predominantly run the ball when he's on the field. I think with Lewis, with Burkhead, and obviously with James White, there's a lot more versatility involved. Maybe they might want to mix it up a little bit
for
with
the second half, Paul.
Absolutely. A little self-scouting when the bye comes.
Jake Pruce says, first, as we are almost to the halfway point of the season, who do you believe has been the best player on defense and offense this season?
Best player on offense.
Besides Tom Brady.
Other than Brady. I assumed we always go other than Brady. I'd go Rob Gronkowski. I think he's sort of done it all when he's been healthy. He's caught the ball. We've seen him block. He even had a pass defense on defense at one point. Making plays. And third down at red zone, he's been there for you. So I would go Gronk on offense. Defense is a tough one.
I'm going to go Trey Flowers.
Trey Flowers. I like
on
that.
Defense.
Consistent.
I think he's. I think he's been the most consistent player, I think. Butler has had some really good games, but other games he struggled. McCourty kind of the same way. The linebackers have been banged up a little bit. I'm going to go Trey Flowers.
I don't even love the Flowers pick. Can I go incomplete?
Well, I'd throw Van Noy in that too.
I don't love that one either. I'm going incomplete on defense.
What about breakout player for second half? Who would you pick? Breakout player.
Breakout player for second half? I'm going to be Mr. Positive. I'm going to go David Harris. Ooh. I think with the Hightower injury, you're going to have to see David Harris. We saw a little sampling of him against Atlanta, and he didn't look like a guy who just flat out couldn't play. He popped a guard, made a tackle, came out on a swing pass, made a nice hit. You're going to like David Harris by the end of the year.
You got one, Paul?
Stephon Gilmore.
Okay.
I think he's going to have a much better second half than first half.
Hope so. Kevin O'Neill, are there any alternatives to Solder and Cannon, either on the active roster or the practice squad?
Now, that one seems a little negative to me.
A little bit.
No, not on the active roster. No, these are guys that you've invested in. They both make some money. If you're going to go outside of the organization and maybe find somebody, you know, a lot of people talked about Dwayne Brown from Houston, who recently ended a holdout, but I don't think on the roster, I don't think Adrian Waddle or Cameron Fleming,
no,
Andy.
I agree. And I think Dante Scarnecchia likes those guys. He's developed and worked for those guys for a long time. They extended Cannon. Maybe they'll extend Solder at some point. Those are your horses.
Okay. Robert Hayes writes in, imagine you are Bill Belichick for a moment, hoodie and all.
Okay.
With the trade deadline approaching and knowing the thin or weak areas of the team, what position would you target in a trade for the coming weeks?
I would still target a defensive end, an edge guy, a guy who can get after the quarterback. Maybe it's a versatile guy who can do some of the Cassius Marsh stuff too, but I want a guy that can pressure the quarterback. Hasn't been consistent enough. Trey Flowers has really been all you've had.
Yeah.
Dietrich Wise has kind of faded. You don't have anything there. You need a pass rusher.
I agree. I mean, for all the reasons Andy said, somebody on the edge that can make a difference.
Yeah, I would say I'd add in now a good solid outside linebacker, whether or not he's a pass rushing, you know, specialist, someone on the outside at linebacker.
Edge players, go get them.
On the edge.
All right, that's it for this week's questions. Every week, send them to AskPFW at Patriots.com.